I don't even know where you're sitting at.
What's good with the world? We back again for another episode of the Pick and Roll podcast. If you heard our intro, that means that only means one thing. That means that it's officially NBA basketball season, man. And first and foremost, Sam, what's good, man?
Hey, what's up, world?
Y'all gotta excuse me in the way I sound, man. I did a lot of traveling this weekend, and I think the change of climate's messed with me a little bit. It started to mess with me. But, yeah, man, it's definitely NBA season. We'll touch on that a little later. But first and foremost, we'll get right into this this weekend that we had, this exciting weekend, should I say, that we had in college football. Now, first topic of the day. There were a lot of upsets this weekend, a lot of them. So with this being the case, I want to ask you, Sam, which upsets do you think were most damaging? You had, for those who aren't familiar, LSU over Georgia. Georgia was number two. You had Iowa State over WVU, West Virginia. West Virginia was number six, I believe. You had Michigan State over Penn State. You had Oregon over Washington. And you had Virginia over Miami and Tennessee over Auburn. There were a lot of upsets. So, Sam, which one do you think was, or which ones do you think were most damaging?
First off, I got Iowa State over WVU. WVU, I feel like they pretty much had to go undefeated to have any shot of getting into the four.
Agreed.
So that one was extremely damaging. And I'm going to go with UVA over Miami as well.
Yes.
I think that pretty much eliminates Miami from having any type of chance of getting into the four as well. Those two teams taking losses this weekend basically ended their chances.
Yes, I agree 100%. A lot of people would have leaned toward the LSU over Georgia, but like you said, I was definitely leaning toward Miami because Miami, even though they lost to LSU, they still had a chance to get into the playoff as far as I'm concerned. I felt like if LSU were to run the table and then lose, obviously it would look good for Miami because right now they're sitting at number five in the nation, I believe, LSU is. But even with that, Miami had an opportunity to run the table in the ACC and then likely see an undefeated Clemson team in the ACC championship, which if they would have beat them, I feel like that would have been enough to at least catch the committee's attention and have them in considerations for the playoff. But like you said, I think that pretty much does it. It's a wrap for that. Another one, like you said, Iowa State over West Virginia. That does a lot of damage, not only just to their playoff hopes, but also for me, it does a lot of damage to Will Grier's Heisman candidacy. I feel like it's a wrap.
He's done.
It's over with now.
100 yards.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me at all. Now, the other upsets, they were pretty big, but UGA still has a chance. It's not something that's too far fetched for them to get in. Washington. I feel like that pretty much solidified no Pac-12 team making it in, which hurts my feelings a little bit because, you know, I did have Washington in my original four. But, there were a lot of upsets. Penn State also, that hurts them a bit. But I don't think that they have much of a chance to get into the playoff anyway. They would have needed Ohio State to lose twice. And in order for them to get into the Big Ten championship and have a chance. But I still don't think that even would have been enough. But regardless, those were the major upsets. Now let's jump into week eight. There are some key matchups, some marquee matchups, I'll say, in this upcoming week. And Those matchups happen to be number 16 NC State at number 3 Clemson. You got number 6 Michigan at number 24 Michigan State, and Michigan State's coming off that big victory over Penn State. Now they get to return home and face their rival, so that's a big one. Then you got number 22 Mississippi State at LSU, coming off of that big win that LSU just had. Then number 12 Oregon at number 25 Washington State. As you can see, majority of these teams, or should I say two of these teams, being Michigan and Oregon, they have to hit the road. So which Week 8 matchups do you see as being most pivotal this week?
I mean, honestly, I think they're all pivotal games. If I had to pick the most pivotal, I would probably go with the Michigan State game, just for the simple fact that with Penn State taking the loss, Michigan is very much alive to get into the four.
Yeah, it's looking that way now. As I said, they jumped all the way to number 6, so they're sitting right on the outside right now.
So, yeah, I think that game would probably be the most pivotal, either that one or LSU, one of those two games. Because LSU, they need to win this week to prove that they really are for real. I mean, they did beat Georgia, and they have had a good season so far. But I still feel like a lot of people are still looking for them to still stumble.
I agree. This past week was what? Three top 10 victories for them?
Yeah.
That's big.
But it's solid, I feel like, still to some people. I don't feel like a lot of people are aware that LSU has beaten three top 10 teams this year.
Yeah, because you take into account that those top 10 teams that they beat outside of UGA are barely keeping their heads above water now. They beat Miami when Miami was in the top 10. We see Miami just fell to Virginia. Then you also had them beating, I believe it was Auburn, who was ranked in the top 10. Now, Auburn was barely in the top 25 last week. So,
and lost, too.
Exactly. So it's not like these are super impressive top 10 teams. So that can have a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, they're – but I think LSU's good, man.
I do, too.
I think they're going to handle Mississippi State at home. Not by a blowout, but I think they're going to win that game. And, yeah, I think LSU's got a real shot at this thing, too. The smoke's starting to clear.
That's a fact. I think the biggest thing with LSU this week is you don't want those guys looking ahead to Bama next week. This is definitely a game where you return home. A Mississippi State team that at this point in their season, they're trying to play spoiler to whoever they can. And you really don't want to run into a team like that if you're not fully focused. I expect LSU to be ready, and I expect them to come in and do what needs to be done to win. But it's definitely a tricky game. Now, another tricky game that I think is probably most pivotal is the NC State at Clemson game. NC State has been known for being that team in the ACC to ruin a lot of team seasons. And I've said this for the last couple of weeks, ever since Kelly Bryant transferred, I'm not extremely huge on Clemson. I don't believe in them like I used to. And for that reason, I have them on upset alert this upcoming weekend. I think that'll probably be the most pivotal game. I don't think Michigan's is as much pivotal. They definitely need to win the game, but even if they do win that game, it's going to come down to them and that Ohio State matchup at the end of the season. I feel like that'll be the most pivotal game of their entire season, win or lose this upcoming week. So it's like a uphill battle, but the same with LSU, because even if LSU wins this week, they got to turn around and face that Bama giant. So,
it's true.
There are definitely a lot of games this week that I feel like could possibly be pivotal, but like you said, the smoke's starting to clear, but that's the great thing about college football. When you have a very competitive season, it really comes down to that last week, and maybe even the bowl seasons, like the conference championship, should I say. It always comes down to the last couple of weeks. And excuse me, we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. Now, let's switch gears a little bit. Well, we'll stay on the same path here. We're talking about playoffs. So, with all of these teams being shuffled around, there's one team that seems to be stuck in place, and that's Notre Dame. But my biggest question about Notre Dame is, how much of a chance do you think that they have to keeping their playoff spot? Right now they're at number four. But with everything going on behind them and in front of them, how much of a chance do they have at keeping that playoff spot, do you feel?
I think I'll give them a 65% chance at keeping that spot. The rest of their schedule isn't very strong. We talked about that on the last episode. Their toughest remaining game very well may be USC. So, I mean, with that, looking at their schedule, I think they can hold it down. I'll give them a higher than a 50-50 chance to do it.
Those aren't bad odds. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think they have a very good shot at it at all. I think that they need a lot of help. Like, they're going to need LSU to drop one of these last two games. I feel like if LSU wins both of these last two games, they can cancel it. It's over. LSU is going to jump them, and Alabama's not going to drop far enough to where Notre Dame is.
That is true, because one of Notre Dame's best wins is Stanford.
So, exactly.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, LSU probably might jump them next week.
Yeah, that's a fact. If LSU beats Mississippi State, that's three top 10 teams, along with Mississippi State being a ranked team. So their resume is going to look better than Notre Dame's, not to mention, like I said, if they beat Bama, they'll be playing in the SEC championship. So win or lose that SEC championship, I feel like they're still going to get in. So, because, I mean, it could very well be a rematch against Bama in that SEC championship. So, I feel like the odds are definitely stacked against Notre Dame. This is where having a conference championship comes in handy. It hurts you when you're an independent team like Notre Dame, because like the committee said year after year, they go on the eye test. So if you have a conference championship week where you're not being seen, you're just sitting, but the teams who are fighting for playoff spots are being seen, that helps them in the eye test. Basically, that's like the last hoorah. Before the committee makes their decisions, it's like you get one final say into why you should be into that playoff. And with a team like Notre Dame, that's like you're the only one that doesn't get to speak up and make a case for yourself. Everybody else is like, well, this is why we should be in. We're going to do this. We're going to flex our muscle. We're going to do that.
Then yeah, it's going to kill them.
It hurts badly. But like I said, their best bet is to hope LSU drops one of these last two. If LSU drops one of these last two, then they're pretty much in a position to where I feel like they're good to go. They'll still get in. And even if LSU happens to lose one of these last two games, they still have a situation or scenario where you have a team like Michigan who's on the outside looking in. Right now they're sitting at six. So if LSU happens to lose next week and they jump to five, and then they turn around and play Ohio State, which will be the number two team in the nation, and if they happen to beat Ohio State, go on to the conference championship, and win the conference championship, now they have a case. Granted, Notre Dame will be undefeated, so I think that they'll still get the nod over on one loss Michigan. But, I mean, it's still another scenario that you have to worry about because you don't have a conference championship. So I think that's definitely going to – it's going to come down to that, that scenario.
I'm taking back my percentage. Because, yeah, I don't know how I forgot. I was just thinking about that they beat Michigan.
Yeah.
But I forgot they beat Clemson, too. And that Clemson win doesn't look as strong as we thought it would.
Yeah. Wait, who?
Huh?
Who?
Notre Dame.
They ain't beat Clemson.
I ain't mean to say Clemson. My bad. Yeah, it's all Stanford. That Stanford win. My bad.
That's true. It's just like you said, that head to head with Michigan is definitely gonna hold weight, but I mean, outside of that, I mean, it's tough for them. It's real tough. But like you said, I give them a huge chance of being able to run the table and finish off their season in the right way. But an undefeated Notre Dame team, I feel like we'll get snubbed by a one-loss LSU team. Or well as a one-loss Alabama team.
Or a one-loss Georgia.
Agreed. So it's tough right now.
Yeah, they're not getting in the playoffs.
They need a lot of things to go right for them, and
they need to go ahead and just join the ACC full time
and stop playing like they play AC. They play an ACC conference schedule, but they're not in the conference. That doesn't make sense to me. Their basketball team's in the conference. Why not just come over and join it as a football team? Being an independent hurts you way more now than it did with the BCS system.
Definitely. So it didn't matter with the BCS.
Exactly. Now it's time that they join. I mean, it's the wave now. There are no teams competing for playoff spots that aren't in conferences. It just doesn't happen these days. So I think it's about time for them to join, like you said. Just stop playing and join the ACC. But switching gears, let's go to the NFL. Last week, we had a marquee matchup with the Chiefs and the Patriots. Went down to the wire, which we both predicted last week. And as it did happen, we both predicted. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, guys. NBA's on, and I just watched Jason Tatum do something so nasty. But that boy is special. We'll get on that later. But NFL, man, Chiefs, Patriots, we both predicted it would go down to the wire. We both predicted that Patriots would come out on top, which both of those were the case. But more importantly, what did we learn about Mahomes and the Chiefs in that game? I'll go ahead and start this one off. I feel like we definitely learned that Mahomes is the real deal. We've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, but playing against a team like the Patriots in Foxborough, throwing two early interceptions, for any young quarterback, it's too much. That can be overwhelming. That basically the start of your demise. A game like that will be on your mind for a while, and it'll start to show in your play. Well, somebody like Mahomes, he took that bad start, brushed it off, and led his team. He did what great leaders do. Yeah, I'm having a rough game, but I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure my team has a chance. And he did that throughout the game. More so, I guess, away from him, we also learned that the Chiefs are going to have to do a lot of outscore me in order for them to be successful. Their defense is solid, but it's not as good as it needs terrible. To be.
It's terrible. Their defense is terrible. It's terrible. And I mean, it'll be better when Houston comes back.
Hopefully.
Man, that defense is horrible, man.
Yeah, it doesn't look good at all. And that's the biggest thing. Like, in that AFC, it's really hard to come out on top when you don't have a defense. Your offense has to be extremely prolific, but you don't see it often in the AFC. You'll see it in the NFC here and there. Like, for instance, the Falcons went to the championship a couple years ago. Their defense was decent, but it wasn't, like, stellar. And you saw how that played out for them. They could score, but they couldn't stop Brady when they needed to. So, a team like the Chiefs, as great as they look, I can't see them making it to the Super Bowl or coming out of the AFC with a defense like that. I just can't see it.
I mean, they've got time to improve, but right now they're 31st overall, and like that's not going to get it done. Like, exactly. You got to at least be middle of the pack.
That's a fact. You never know when these other teams in the AFC are going to peak and hit their stride. Like a team like the Steelers, for instance, like they're not necessarily dangerous just yet, but they look like they're starting to become more so of that. They've strung together a couple of key victories, and this, with the way that the Chiefs defense looks, it's not too far-fetched to say that Pittsburgh would give them a good run for their money, especially if they get everything taken care of with Le'Veon, or even if they don't. James Conner is showing that he's definitely useful for Pittsburgh. So it's just, I don't know, man. I'm not a believer in the Chiefs going long term. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm not either. That defense has got to improve, or nobody cares. Because we know you're not going to just put up 40 on teams in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Like, you got to get stops. The Patriots didn't punt one time.
That's ridiculous. That's god awful.
Bro, their defense is terrible.
Not one punt at all?
No punts, bro. None.
Goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah. In an NFL game.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
No punts.
Yeah, that's plumb ridiculous. I don't even know what you say to a team come Monday morning when that happens. Like, I'm at a loss for words because it's ridiculous.
It's a little league stat.
Exactly. Like, man, come on. No punts in an entire game? Come on. And you're undefeated. Like, what is going on?
They ain't got no stops. They can't get no stops. Their offense is just crazy.
Well, I mean, we've seen crazy offenses multiple times throughout the history of the NFL, but like we said, there's no way that you're going to be where you need to, or where you want to be, with just offense. It doesn't happen. In playoff time, like you said, you're not putting up crazy points like you're putting up now. It comes time now where the defensive coordinators step up and we start the scheme. We're really going to see just how good your offense is. And all it takes with a defense like them, all it's going to take is one or two stops.
Exactly.
And now it's over. You're playing from behind. Just like last week. I mean, those two interceptions, I mean, people can easily say that those were the deciding factors. You get touchdowns on that drive, then maybe we're in a completely different situation. But
yeah, but you're putting your young quarterback,
first year starter. So
you're putting your first year starter in a situation where he feels like he has to score every time.
Exactly. And that's going to come to what? Turnovers.
Exactly.
Try to do too much. But oh my goodness, Terry. I don't know. I don't know what can happen that can make their defense look any better. Because, yes, Houston should be returning. But even with him returning, one player, unless your name is Khalil Mack, is not going to make that great of a
Eric Berry out, too.
Oh, man. See, I didn't know that.
But still, I mean, that should help them. But they've got to improve on defense if they think they're going to make some type of run at an AFC title, like
dramatically. But speaking of defenses, let's talk about another team who I don't even know what to describe them as. But Jacksonville, you know, I loved the showing last week. But even outside of that, what is wrong with Jacksonville's defense? Like, what is going on,
man? I know their defense looked god-awful last week, but I think their problem is not even on the defensive side of the ball. We know what them guys can do. And, man, they might as well sign me at quarterback.
Bruno's is looking like a bum, man. Oh,
my gosh, bro.
I think it's – but I think that's partially their fault, though, because – he played so good in the playoffs that I feel like his expectations are so much higher now. Everybody knows that Jacksonville's offense is not going to thrive without a solid run game. Without them having Leonard Fournette That puts a lot of pressure on Bortles, because you can't turn around and hand the ball off to Yeldon that often. Like, he's not that type of back. Like, yeah, he can carry the load when it needs to be done, but not on a regular basis. And that's what's really hurting. The fact that Fournette's missing that much time.
They missing Marquise Lee.
Big you
would
time. Think,
you would have thought they would have tried to bring in a receiver or a running back or something.
I mean, you got to think their top two receivers they let go in hopes of Marquise Lee being that guy, and then you risk this. Like,
he gets hurt, you don't bring in anybody. They didn't even call Dez.
They didn't call Dez. They also didn't make a play at Josh Gordon. Like, it was a lot of stuff that they should have done. Especially when you have a quarterback like Bortles. Like, I don't understand.
They thought he was nasty. They thought Blake Bortles was the guy.
And that's the thing. Like, too much – y'all had too high of expectations for him.
Because he's not that guy. He's horrible.
Exactly. He looked good last year, but, I mean
– him and Derek Carr looking like some shit.
Oh, man. Derek Carr is looking like the biggest bust. I didn't expect it to happen, but – who was it? Sauce. I believe it was Sauce. If y'all have listened to our show before, we had guest on here by the name of Sauce. He has his own podcast. You can find Sauce Straight Talk. But he said, no, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Talking about him and his brother. And he's starting to look a lot like him. I'm starting to see shades of his brother all up and through him. But yeah, man. Outside of that, Jacksonville's got some major issues. I understand what you're saying about you don't think that there are problems on defense, but come on, man. They ran into an offense in Dallas who has struggled the entire season. And me being a Cowboy fan, I loved it. I love seeing it, but I'm not going to get too high on it because it wasn't necessarily us. It was more of them. Like, they really looked terrible. And not only did they look bad, Zeke didn't even have a crazy game. You let Dak shred you all night. We put up...
I think it was karma for what's the name, talking all that shit.
Ramsey.
Yeah, he got to shut up now. It's time to shut up.
That's true. That's true. But I feel like he's going to be one of those players that they can go 0-16. He's still going to talk shit. That's just who he is.
He got humbled, though.
That's a fact. That is a fact.
By mediocre receivers. Y'all ain't got a second receiver.
No, we don't.
Third receivers.
Exactly. That's a fact. That's a fact. And they all look like studs out there against that subpar defense. Like,
But their pass rush been struggling too, though.
That's true. And also, I do want to make sure that I don't discredit Dak, because for the first time this entire season, we ran more Dak-friendly plays. They let Dak run the ball a little more. Design runs for Dak to get him more comfortable, and they didn't necessarily put too much pressure on him and getting him in bad situations, such as like third and longs and stuff like that. They managed the game really well as far as coaching, but I was telling my dad, I think a lot of it had to do with Jason Garrett. All of this Jason Garrett needs to go talk, put some pressure on him, so he was like, okay, I guess I gotta open it up at least a little bit, but he's still terrible. He still needs to go. But regardless of that, Jacksonville's got major issues going on down there. And for as good as they looked last year, it's just crazy to me to see how much of a change they made. But that's the beauty of the NFL. Year in, year out, it could be a team that's smoking hot. Then you turn around next year and now they're nowhere to be found.
Yep, you see it all the time.
That's a fact. And
that's why I'm glad to see my Rams take a step instead of taking a step back.
I mean, they're still looking head and shoulders above a pack. I don't see anybody anywhere remotely close to how even dominant y'all look.
Look at the Panthers, though, the year they went to the Super Bowl. 15-1. They have not reached that level of success or came anywhere close to it since.
That's true.
I mean, they've still been making the playoffs and whatnot, but they're not – they're not that. They can't get back to that again. That's because in the NFL, it's just every team is really – I feel like usually most of the teams are like all equally as good. So it really comes down to just a couple plays every season where you can end up, you can go from being a 12-4 team to being a 8-8 team just off 6-7 plays.
I agree. It comes down to a couple of plays and a couple of key injuries. Because every year, it's a team that suffers a injury that pretty much puts their team, or injury or suspension, or some type of issue that puts your team behind where it needs to be, puts them behind the curve. Like Pittsburgh, for instance. If Le'Veon was there, they wouldn't be in this predicament right now. They'd probably be dominating the AFC. And I would go on record saying that. I feel like obviously Big Ben would probably have lost them a game or so, but they would be much more than a middle of the pack team. But like you said, it's a couple of plays and a couple of players away from being where you want to be each year.
You know, I'm not the biggest NFL fan anyway, but that's one of the main things that I like about the NFL is that every game means something.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You can't take games off. A guy missing one game could change his season. Like, it's different. That's why I feel like it would be – the NBA would be way doper if they played
away. They shortened it.
40 games, bro. Oh, my gosh. That would be crazy.
It would be.
But it'll never happen because they would lose out on so much money.
Yeah, a lot of money. But do you know how much better that would make the playoffs, man?
The ratings for the regular season, I feel like, would be better because you
every game would matter.
Yeah, you're gonna feel like you're missing something if you miss the game.
Yeah, that's a fact. And then you got teams. If you shorten it and do 40 games or whatever it is, 48, whatever they would shorten it to, you would run into teams that may not get to see certain teams in a regular season. So here come playoff time. You like, I ain't never seen this monster before. It's harder to scheme against. You go against players in the NBA during the regular season, it's like, okay, yeah, they may have gotten us or we may have gotten them, but we got a glimpse of them. So now we know what to expect for the most part.
I think that the NBA, that 82 games is just too long. It's watered down.
I agree.
Games don't matter. We know who's going to win how many games.
I agree.
For the most part, like, it's just, I don't know, man.
Like, last year was a boring NBA season. Granted, the playoffs were a little more hype in the Eastern Conference and in the Western Conference toward the conference finals. But, come on, everybody in their right mind picked the same finals as the year before, the Cavs and the Warriors. And had LeBron not gone to L.A., I mean, he very well could have been in a position to where he would have been back there. I figured they would have made a couple moves and got him some pieces, and it would have been the same thing all over again. But I don't know. We'll get to the NBA here in a second. But let's finish up on football. Let's touch on our last football topic. As of today, it has been stated that Le'Veon is no longer expected to report to the Steelers. What is there a lot to make out of this is my biggest question, but I'll start first. I feel like there is a lot to make out of this, not on Le'Veon's behalf, but on Pittsburgh's behalf, because with Le'Veon not being expected to show, that's obviously his decision. But the fact that Pittsburgh is still in the position to where they feel like we're not going to go after him, that shows that they have a lot of faith in James Conner. So that shows that they may be moving forward in a different direction. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think this pretty much means that Le'Veon, he's done in Pittsburgh. I think they might as well trade him. Get him up there today.
That's the best bet. I mean, I don't think anything else is going to come out of this situation positive for Pittsburgh.
That's what I'm saying. You might as well just go ahead and do it. They should have been did it if they – I don't know. They just being petty, I feel like.
I feel like they were holding out hope that they would be successful and show Le'Veon, you need us, we don't need you. But now I feel like both both sides of the parties or both parties are in a position to where they have too much pride. Le'Veon still wants, I mean, obviously he wants his money for good reason. And Pittsburgh also feels like, yeah, we're losing games, but we may have found a gem in this running back. So, I mean, this is what it is. Like, either you come back or you don't. But James Conner's obviously, he's good. He's no Le'Veon. So, yeah, I feel like they have a point in seeing that they may have a future in this guy. But come on, man. This is Le'Veon Bell. This is the best running back in the NFL. You got to get something done. You got to get a deal made, man. Like you said, whether it's a trade or bringing him in and letting him know, listen, man, I understand we ain't see eye to eye, but let's get a deal done. Let's sit down and get this done and put all of this stuff behind us so we don't got all of this.
You would think that with somebody that's done that much for your franchise, though, like helped you out that much, that
it shouldn't be this hard.
Oh, like, you're supposed to take care of those guys. That's the whole thing that's weird about the situation. Like,
yeah, and that's – I feel like that's a key point in this situation, because you see a guy like Le'Veon that does as much for an organization like Pittsburgh, and you're not willing to pay him. So then you get other players that may be coming up on big-time contracts, and they like, shit, you saw what he did to Le'Veon. Fuck it, I ain't risking it. Such and such about to offer me this. I'm gone. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
You don't want to run into that. As an organization, you don't want to have that over your head to where you're letting great players get away. Like we already touched on. Look at Oakland. You don't want to pay this man? Okay, we will. And you see what we doing.
Do you think the weed or anything has anything to do with that?
No. And if it does, that's extremely ridiculous. I mean, come on now. Like, I guess I can understand having some concern about it, but it's not that big a deal, man. It can't be that big a deal to where you're risking not bringing this man back. Like, I don't think that's an issue at all. Not that big of an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet you they tried to use it for leverage.
Probably. That wouldn't surprise me at all, but I mean, what are you really going to do with that? Like, are you really just going to, well, I don't know. You know, you got issues with this. We don't really know if we can trust you or not. But if that's the route you're going to go, I mean, come on now. You're ridiculous. You're nitpicking now.
Bottom line is the NFL needs a new, they need a new PA.
Yep. I agree 100%.
Because they're terrible. Whoever it is, I don't know his name or her name or whoever it is. But, yeah, they're terrible.
Yep, I agree 100%. But now let's switch gears and go to my favorite topic of the day. NBA. It's finally here, man. It's finally time. Won't do too much since it is just a opening night. There's not really much to touch on just yet, but let's get some fun topics out the way. We'll start off with MVP favorites. I'll give you, let's see, three. You get to pick three MVP favorites. We'll do the one that you believe is going to win it, the one who has a chance, another one who has a chance of winning it, and your dark horse MVP. So, go ahead and start off.
Okay. I think the MVP this year is going to be
Steph Curry.
Nah. I got Bron this year, yeah.
For real?
Yeah, because I heard I was listening to Speak for Yourself.
Uh-huh.
Wright and Chris Carter. You know, I usually don't agree with anything that Nick Wright says about LeBron.
Because he's a stan.
Yes, he's a stan. But he says something that really does make sense this time. Like, when Bron won 50 games with the Cavs, it was like, oh, they were supposed to do that. You know, it was
low,
like,
expectations.
Yeah, but if he wins 50 games with the Lakers, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a lot of buzz around it. And I feel like, I mean, we already know what type of numbers he's going to put up, regardless of what the Lakers' records are. He's going to be 27-8-8 at least. So with those numbers, and he went 50 games in L.A., I think that's going to be MVP worthy. And then another person I got is James Harden, of course.
Obviously, yeah.
And then my dark horse, Mr. Simmons.
I should have saw that one coming.
Yeah, he's my dark horse for MVP. That guy, he's going to fill it up in four categories. Steals, points, assists, and rebounds.
Well, I mean, that's not far-fetched. That's not far-fetched at all. Let's see. I guess I'll go first. I think it's hard for me to say my favorite because, I mean, it's hard to go against a guy like James Harden. I do feel like him having Melo as well as Chris Paul, it'll take a load off of him. So, obviously, he won't have to do as much. Plus, he's got guys like Eric Gordon coming back. But you'll be missing out on guys like Trevor Ariza for defense and stuff like that. So, as a team, I don't feel like they'll be able to match their level of where they were last year. So, I feel like that's going to play a part in him because it seems like
they still going to be the 2 seed.
Yeah, but even with that, I don't feel like it's going to be a 2 seed that's as competitive as last year. I really don't think it's going to be that close this year as far as the race is concerned because I feel like there are a lot of middle-of-the-pack teams, and you got those two teams, the Warriors and the Rockets. So I don't think the Rockets are going to be where everybody expects them to be with this new roster, and that is going to hurt James Harden because he's not going to be – the years that he's been – MVP candidate and he's been really high in the race, it's been years where his team has done exceeded expectations. They've been good, but they were a little better than people expected it to be.
Already know who you got.
Who was that?
Huh?
Who was that?
Anthony Davis.
That's why Sam's my brother. Listeners, because he knows me better than most people do. So, Anthony Davis is my guy. That's who I have winning the MVP race this year. If they can string together a healthy season,
they're not going to be good enough. Their team, they're going to be like a 6 or 8 seed.
But look, listen. This is the point of view that I'm taking it from. I don't think that they necessarily have to be great. They just have to be good. If they're a 5 seed, he'll have a chance of winning. I look at this Anthony Davis season the same way that I looked at Russell Westbrook's MVP season. They weren't great, but he stood out because of his performance.
Triple double. Anthony Davis not about to average no triple double.
Yeah. I don't think that he'll average a triple-double as Russ did, but I feel like his play will be much more impressive.
If he averaged like a steal and a half and 2 blocks, about 12 boards maybe, and about 29, 30 points, I could see Anthony Davis winning it if they good. But I think, if he just averaged like 28 and 12, he's not winning no MVP at no 5 seed.
I think he will. I think he'll average high 20s, maybe 28, 29. Stellar rebounding numbers as always. But my thing for Anthony Davis this year is it's a bold statement, but I think Anthony Davis is going to lead the league in blocks this year if he can stay healthy. And that is what's going to solidify him in winning MVP because he's already been in the conversation, but now it's time to take a step higher.
He's got to learn how to affect games.
Yes. Yes, and I mean he affects them. But I mean,
like winning games, like it for him to be. Everybody want to say he the second best player in the league and all this and all that, but I'm like,
that's a stretch. But
yeah, because he only be winning like 45 games a season. Like that's not second best player in the league status. Like, if you second best player in the league, you should be winning 50, 55 games then.
That's a fact.
Regardless of who on your team.
That's a fact. And I don't
y'all can say what y'all want about KD, but you put him on a team with whoever, he winning 50 games.
That's a fact. I don't even think that that debate is close. I mean, everybody knows it's LeBron and KD and everybody else.
No, everybody does not know that. I thought everybody knew that.
I think everybody does. I just think that everybody hates KD, so they don't want to give him that credit. But deep down inside, there's no way you can't look at the – you can, if you're a true fan of basketball – if you actually know the game of basketball, there's no way in your right mind you can say that there's anybody not named LeBron James is better than Kevin Durant. If you think otherwise, you're ignorant and you don't know anything about basketball. Point blank, period.
Anthony Davis has potential to be better.
Not yet. He's not. Yeah, I mean, KD's going to have to take a step back.
I mean, I'm talking about, like, maybe when KD's gone, we might look at AD and be after, like, 5 or 6 more years and be like, yeah, he better than KD was now. But, like, as far as him, like, surpassing KD while KD's playing, no.
Not happening.
Nah.
But let's jump on to my second guy. My second guy that I think has a chance to win the MVP, probably going to surprise some people, but it's Kawhi. And
no, that's not surprising.
Reason being is because I feel like he's got a lot to prove. And this is going to be that year where he really shows, like, yeah, I'm still elite. I'm still the guy that everybody thinks I am defensively and offensively. And with him being in that new system in Toronto, I feel like we'll see a lot more of him, I guess, offensively. Because anybody knows when you play in a Popovich system, it's never been geared toward the guards. Never. Or forwards, should I say. Forwards – meaning small forwards. Obviously, if you're a back-to-the-basket block guy, you're going to thrive in that system. Offense is going to run through you. Now, with him being in Toronto, I feel like we'll see Kawhi in a different light. He won't be a system type of guy. He'll be a guy that which you really see, like, Kawhi really nice. Like, there ain't nothing that man can't do on an NBA basketball court. And that's how I already feel about him.
That Raptors team is a good team, man.
It is.
Everybody want to crown Boston.
I'm crowning them.
I'm telling you, you better watch out for that Toronto team with Kawhi Leonard now.
Yeah, now they do now have that leader that they've desperately been needing. DeRozan,
I think he's low key enjoying Toronto.
I wouldn't be surprised. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't feel like Toronto.
He just seemed different.
Toronto's going to make his stay there, however long it may be. They're going to make his stay there extremely enjoyable because they know that they potentially have a franchise guy. Like, they've seen DeRozan come and go. They had Kyle Lowry, but it's been a very long time since they've seen a guy come into Toronto, and they honestly feel like we can build around this guy and be special. And that's what I feel like Kawhi brings to the table for them. Yeah, point blank, period.
I'm telling you. But watch out for that Raptors team this year.
I mean, that's not crazy. It's not crazy for you to say that.
They're going to be tough.
I think that they're easily second or third best team in the conference.
I'm not saying that they're going to beat Boston. I'm just saying.
But it'll be close.
Because everybody want to say it's easily going to be Boston coming out the East. That series, I think, is going to 7.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. But, yeah, man, Kawhi, that's my second pick for MVP. And my dark horse for MVP is not necessarily a dark horse. I feel like at this point it's kind of expected out of him. It's time that he take that step and people actually see, like, okay, we all know him, but just how good is he? And that guy, to me, will be another guy who's going to have to play an entire NBA season, Kyrie Irving. And the reason why I say Kyrie is because he's got a lot of people around him now to where he's really going to have to – be more than just a scorer this year. In order for him to be successful, he's going to have to be more than a scorer. Point blank, period. We haven't had to have a performance out of Kyrie to where he's had to be more than that. When he was with the Cavs, that's all they needed from him. They just needed him and LeBron to go out there and get the buckets. They didn't expect much more from him.
I just don't see it out of him.
But with a guy, or with players around you that are now, they're going to be relying on you as far as getting them involved. And the talk, oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, guys. Jaylen Brown just dunked on Joel Embiid. I'm not sure if it was a clean dunk or not, but it looked good from what I just saw. But yeah, man, with guys around you like Kyrie has around him. Uh-oh. Oh, no, that wasn't clean. He threw it off the backboard, I think. Oh, yeah. Embiid got two hands on that, and it still went in. But regardless, he's got guys around him now that need – since, it, like you've always said, he's a ball stopper. This is going to have to be that year where he's going to have to be more than a ball stopper. With guys like Gordon Hayward around him, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they're doing a lot of – tonight they have him and Rozier in the game at the same time, and they're having Kyrie off the ball. That's good, but at the same time, there are going to be times where you're going to have to be on ball and you're going to have to get other guys involved. And if he does do that, I feel like he takes a step in that direction this year, because if people remember, before Kyrie went down last year, Kyrie was the leading vote getter in MVP at that particular time. He was number one in the MVP race. And then he went down and... I mean, that was all she wrote.
That's asking a lot of a guy who's never averaged more than 5.1 assists in his career.
It is.
And become a playmaker.
It is, but with a guy.
Kyrie is a supreme scorer, and that's who he is. He's a scoring machine. He's not a combo guard. He's a scoring machine. You give him the ball, and you let him go. You got to have – that's why – I think they should keep Rozier because, I mean, he could score too, but he's got a little bit more of a – nah, he the same. He's Kyrie. You got to have another guard on your team that could pass if you're going to have a guard like that, though. Like Iverson. Iverson wasn't never really a playmaker. He was a scoring machine. I think he still could play make better than Kyrie can.
Definitely.
But Iverson was never really a playmaker. He was always just a scorer. And there are two guards they trapped into one's body.
That's true. But I feel like even outside of that, even if Kyrie doesn't take that leap as far as facilitating, we're going to have to see him take a step in his game. And another asset of his game is going to have to stand out this year. Like you say, you brought up Allen Iverson, for instance. Allen Iverson, certified bucket getter. But also on that other end of the court, AI was picking you. AI was doing what he did defensively. With Kyrie, all we're seeing is offense out of him. And for him to be as big of a player as he is, it's time now. You made your move. You don't want to be in Cleveland anymore. You moved to Boston. It's time that you take a step now in your career to show everybody why you're as highly praised as you are. And I think this year could be that year for him. If he stays healthy, there's no secret that he's been banged up since college, and it's been a while since we've seen a full season out of Kyrie.
Yeah, I still feel like he robbed us of a banner.
I agree 100% because we were looking real spooky out there with him and Nolan.
Oh, Lord.
And Singler. We looked real crazy that year. But nevertheless, those are my MVP picks. Next up. Finals pick. Shouldn't be no surprise on my end. I got the Warriors coming out the West. I got the Celtics coming out the East. And I got the Celtics slim margin winning the Eastern Conference Finals. But in the NBA Finals, I feel like I'll give you two scenarios. Both teams show up healthy to the NBA Finals. Give me the Warriors and five. No, give me the Warriors and six. Brad Stevens got my respect. Warriors and six. But the outlier in this scenario is Boogie Cousins. It depends on what Cousins we get. I feel like if we get a Cousins that isn't as quick. Oh my gosh, Kyrie! Oh, in and out. If he isn't as good on his toes as he needs to be, if he has lost any type of step, I like Boston in 7. But if we get a healthy, I would say 85 to 100% Boogie, Warriors win. Anything less, I'm taking the Celtics in 7. What's your finals pick?
I cannot believe you just sat on here and picked the Celtics to win the finals.
You know, I hate Boston. I hate them. They do got a couple of my Blue Devils on their team, but I still hate Boston. But like I said, it's going to come down to Boogie because I feel like no Boogie is going to be an issue.
Man, listen to this, man. I got the same finals, of course. And my Cousins, your Cousins, Boogie Cousins, don't matter. Warriors in 5. Oh, talking shoot. About. Like, bro, why would Boogie be the factor? He ain't played a game yet. We ain't worried about no Boogie Cousins, man. If Boogie there or not, it don't matter. The Warriors, if Boogie come, they might be janitorial stuff. They not. What are they gonna do with KD? That's the thing. And I do feel like Steph about to get back to his shit too, because I know he tired of it like I am. Everybody talking, they talking about he ain't top 5 no more. Like,
that's true. I actually had him in a conversation for my MVP, but I couldn't give him the nod over those other guys. Plus, I don't feel like he could have been a dark horse since he's already won it twice.
I feel like he'd be out there deferring too much.
Tatum out here talking cash. I love it. I feel like the reason why Boogie will be a factor, well, even outside of it, I'll touch on KD first. You said, what are they going to do with KD? There's nothing anybody can do with KD, but if there's anybody in the NBA who has enough bodies to throw at him to not necessarily affect him, but if there's anybody in the NBA who has enough fresh legs at the forward position to throw at him, it's Boston. You can throw Jason Tatum at him. You can throw Jaylen Brown at him. You can throw Gordon Hayward at him. Like, there's a lot of guys that you can just keep plugging in and throwing at him. But, it's KD. Like, honestly, there's nothing you can do with him, period. But I think that if you come up against a Warriors team without Boogie, you're relying a lot on who's else backup center? Jordan Bell.
Yeah, Jordan Bell, right? He looking like he done took a step.
I'm liking my chances on a Jordan Bell because
he just another Draymond. He gonna take longer to develop, but that's his game. That's how he play. He can pass it a little bit. He can hit the open three. He plays D. He rebounds. That's who he play like. He's a hustle man. He played like Draymond. He played like Draymond at Oregon, though. Draymond ain't play like Draymond at Michigan State.
I feel like another thing that it depends on is what type of fucking Al Horford are we going to get? Because he's been a guy who playoffs haven't been good to him. So I feel like if he's on a big stage, that's tough, Terry. If he's on the big stage and if he plays like Atlanta Al Horford, I think that they have a shot because I like Al Horford any day in a week against a Jordan Bell. I also think that him and Draymond will bang a little bit down there. But if you take a guy like Al Horford down there and you're putting Draymond on him, Draymond can't be as much of a rim protector because Al Horford can step out and hit the mid-range. You have to respect that. So I feel like I like them scheme-wise against a Warriors team with no Boogie. But, I mean, when it all boils down to it, it's all about what happens on that court. And it's hard to go against a Warriors team like this. But if anybody can do it, it's Brad Stevens. You know I'm really high on him, just as you are.
It's not the shot. It's not how many shots KD makes. It's when he makes the shots.
That's a fact.
Because, I mean, if you just look at the box score in all of those finals games, you would just be like, I mean, KD went crazy, but that's what you expect. But if you watch the game, you'd be like,
he affected the game. Like, KD went off.
Every time the Warriors needed a bucket and some of them – and what was that, game four?
Mm-hmm.
Or game three, one of them. Every time – it was the game where he went crazy and hit the deep three again. Was that game three?
Yeah.
In that game, he was make – every time the Warriors needed a bucket, he was making the play.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, that was the game where Steph and Klay didn't show up at all.
Struggled. They combined for 21 points.
Yeah.
And KD did it all.
And
that should have answered if KD could play with no help.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Because, I mean,
he beat the Cavs by himself that day.
Yes.
He did what everybody was expecting Braun to do. Beat the Warriors by himself when they weren't playing the way that they needed to. But, excuse me. It's hard to pick against the Warriors, but like I said, if anybody can do it, Brad Stevens can. But
yeah, that your pick is more like, I'm tired of the Warriors
winning. Not really. It's just
more you hope that's how it happened.
It's hard. I don't necessarily want to say hope because I don't have any hope for either side. I don't like the Celtics, so true. I'm always fine with them not winning the finals. And also, I mean, my two favorite players in the NBA will be on the big stage in Kyrie and KD. So either way, it's a win-win for me. But it's definitely more of a win if the Celtics don't win because, well, I mean, we don't want them hanging on more banners as a Laker fan. Not before us.
I'm taking the Warriors against the field.
There's no way to argue that. Obviously, I feel like that's a popular pick.
I also think this is the last year that KD's going to be around.
Do you?
I do. I think KD gone after this year.
Where do you think he's going to go?
I don't know, but Stephen A. done been talking. You know, hey, man.
Last time Stephen A. got to talking about KD,
he talked
about he was coming to L.A.
Everybody hates Stephen A. or whatnot. And everybody is cool and fine and dandy, but you cannot deny that man got sources. He told us.
His sources be shaky sometimes.
Man, when he talk about where people – he ain't say where he was going, though, but – and he ain't even said it for sure, but people talking about KD leaving. When people start talking about a player leaving, that usually means something. Like, last year, nobody was talking about KD talking about ending his contract with the Warriors and then like, well, no rumblings. Like, now, like, I feel like if something's been said for people to start saying that.
I mean, I don't think anything's been said. I just think that's it's to be expected. You win three in a row here. It's almost like I'm solidified now. Like, what more do I really need to do? I can go wherever I want to play now. It's not about me chasing any type of legacy. It's like, I've got three in a row now. Three, and if he wins another finals MVP, three championships, three finals MVPs, where do I want to end my career? That's what it's going to boil down to. I don't necessarily think it's anything about sources. I don't think it's anything like people are talking. I just think that in any situation, once you get up in your career the way that KD is, I feel like that speculation is going to occur regardless. Like, I feel like even if it were somebody like I feel like if anybody was put in the situation that KD was, you go to a team that you weren't drafted by, that obviously you spent a lot of time in the NBA, then you go to a team, win rings, then after you win your rings, it's almost like, what else? Like, what's next? Like, it's like the end of the chapter there, so people are trying to close the book. But I can't see anywhere else in the NBA that KD's like, okay, this is where I want to go to, end my career, unless it's at home in Washington.
He trying to figure out which team is going to relocate to Seattle. He going to go to them.
I could see that. That I could see. But that's where then you got the, oh my gosh. Then you got the question as to whether the team's going to relocate and actually be in Seattle before he retires.
Yeah. If they would have never left Seattle, bro, he would have stayed on that team forever.
I think so too. I agree with that. But
he might, I feel like, what if he go fuck with Dame and them?
I don't like that.
Nah, I think if he leaves, I think he's going to go somewhere where it's just going to be him. Or he might go to L.A. and play with Bron.
That shit would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be nuts.
Nah. Niggas really going to hate KD if he do that.
He really out here ring chasing. That ain't ring chasing, though.
That's what, he really going to try to go down there and play with Bron and all of them young guys just so he can get another ring?
He really want to be Bron. I'm really all four players teaming up, bro. I feel like everybody who ain't for it is hypocrites. Because if you play pickup basketball, when you
pick you
up,
grab the best team.
You grab. I'm about to start telling people who got something against KD to quit picking up talent at the rec. Nope, don't pick him up. Nope.
That's true, but that ain't the same thing. I feel like it's cool to. What you're saying is the same thing. Like people going to the gym and picking up the best team and KD going there. That's one thing. But the two best players in a planet playing on the same team, no.
I think that shit would be dope, though.
No, there's nothing dope about it.
You wouldn't like to see them two play?
Would I? Exactly. Especially if they go to L.A. Like, I wouldn't care for
it, bro. Regardless of which team they play for.
It could be them two and a bunch of scrubs, and that thing is going to be fun to watch.
It would be fun to watch. Yes, it would be fun to watch. I don't care what nobody say. And like Shaq said, man, Shaq even said it, bro. Like, I don't see no problem with it. Like, you want the best players on your team. Look, who the fuck started?
Shaq is definitely not going to have no problem with it. Like, come on. Shaq's where they hold no weight with me. That's my guy. Who started
saying that you got to play with scrubs? Like, why can't you have good players around you, the best players around you? What's wrong with that?
It's not about playing with scrubs and staying on the sorry team. It's more so of, you know, I'm all for it. I don't have anything against anybody traveling anywhere. But I feel like where other people are coming from is just, it's not the norm. And people aren't wrapping their heads around the fact that the NBA is not the same. It's going to change just like anything else in life.
Yeah, the players
it's going to evolve.
The players got more control now.
Exactly. The players have more control now. Also, the fans have made it to where you ain't great if you ain't got no ring. So now it's like, okay, I really got to chase a legacy. Now a nigga's out here saying I'm this, I'm that, or I'm not this, I'm not that because I don't have no ring. So I know I'm that deal. Now let me go get a ring. So now that I got a ring, I'm not Barkley. I'm not Iverson. Where do I stand in a conversation now? I got a ring, so you can't talk about me. There's nothing you can say. So I feel like a lot of that does have to do with the fans. The fans have made it this way. They made it to where you can't be considered the best or in the conversation of being the best if you don't got no ring.
I think that whole ring thing started with Michael Jordan when he won the six, and people start saying he was the greatest ever because he won six rings. But what they really was meaning is that he won six and was undefeated. He never lost. He basically won six in a row. That's what people really was meaning.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also feel like people didn't word it correctly in that aspect because Jordan went 6-0 in the finals, but he's not the GOAT because he went 6-0 in the finals. He went 6-0 in the finals because he is the GOAT.
True. But like, I feel like when people started saying that, then when everybody was trying to make a case for any other player, they like, oh, he got
that trumps everything.
Yeah, he got this many rings. He got this many rings. You know what I'm saying? Then Barkley and them ain't get none. And they like, oh, such and such better than Barkley because Barkley ain't got no rings. And then that's how that all got started.
Yep, I agree.
And I feel like it's just people just misconstrued the whole conversation.
And I agree.
Now we at a place to where players feel like you got to get a ring. And that's why you see players bouncing around. Like back in the 90s, nobody had a problem playing with the same team for 20 years because, I mean, of course you want to win, but it wasn't pressure to win championships to
solidify
your legacy.
I agree.
Now it's like, you got to have them. Like, you gotta, like, what you gonna do if you don't got one? That's why I feel like it's dope that Vince Carter's still playing, and he like, man, I'm trying to play. Like,
He ain't out here jumping on squads. Wherever I can go play, that's where I'm gonna go. I'm not trying to go where I can get a ring. I'm gonna go where I can go out there and play.
Yeah, I think that's dope out of Vince Carter for real. Cause like shit, I know who I am. I know who I was. I don't need y'all to validate me.
Exactly. I just love the game.
Yeah, I can respect that. Oh, yeah, I respect that. But yeah, I respect KD's side of it too. Like he trying to go down his top five, top three ever.
Yeah, I mean,
he damn sure not getting in that conversation with not even with just one.
I agree, and that's another big thing. It's like with a player like KD, as great as he is, that was his only knock. There was nothing that KD could not do on the floor. There's not an accolade that KD did not have that held him out of that conversation. The only thing you could say was, that nigga ain't got no ring. He got it now. And he's a two-time finals MVP. He's NBA MVP, scoring champion. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. So, like you said, that was the last pillar as far as him and being in a conversation. And I can agree with – I mean, I feel it too. I feel it 100%. Why not go somewhere where it's the only thing I got left to accomplish? So let me go somewhere where not only can I accomplish it, but I can also go somewhere and this team scheme fits me.
And that's the aspect that makes KD and Vince Carter different, is the caliber of players that they are.
That.
Because, I mean, like, Bron wouldn't have been able to afford to just chill in Cleveland and never win a ring for 20 years. And that try to be one of the best players ever. Like, it wouldn't have happened if he didn't get the chips.
Exactly.
Like, you got to, like, when you that type of player, I understand them knowing that they got to get a ring. But all, like, the rest of these players that be ring chasing and trying to get the chip and stuff, I don't really get.
Yeah, that's a fact. But we spent enough time on this. Let's, matter of fact, before we get off MVP, or excuse me, NBA, real quick, rookie of the year pick, who you got?
Luka Doncic.
That's tough. I had Luka on mine, too. Let me try to think of somebody else. I'm going to go a different route, but I did have Luka as mine.
I really, really, really wanted to pick Marcus. I mean, Marvin. I said Marcus. I really wanted to pick Marvin, but
that's a tough situation for him down there.
Yeah, it is. I think they are going to be better than what people think, though. They got a lot of young talent down there.
I agree. That's tough, man. It's hard for me to think of somebody other than Luka. Let me see. I don't really want to go Ayton because I feel like that's the norm. Don't really want to go Trae Young because I definitely don't think he has a shot at it.
You don't?
No.
I do.
I don't. I feel like he has a shot for the simple fact that his situation is benefiting him now. Now that he doesn't have Schroeder down there, it's kind of like his show, like he's the guard. But I feel like that's going to put too much pressure on him. His expectations are extremely high, mostly because of the Steph Curry comparisons and all of that stuff. But matter of fact, there it is. That's my pick. Wendell Carter Jr. Ooh, my guy.
Can't argue that.
I like him or Luka. Either way.
I told people, y'all remember y'all laughed at me when I said he was more skilled than Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I definitely remember you saying that. I didn't dispute that at all. I don't feel like he was a better player at Duke than Marvin Bagley, but he's more skilled as far as his all-around game.
Marvin Bagley really is just an athlete.
Yeah, that's a fact.
He's a raw talent. He's just still good as hell because he's a supreme athlete. Like he doesn't even really have a game yet. He might end up being a wing player.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, we don't know what he's going to be for real. Bagley, I mean, Wendell Carter is solidified, and he can shoot the jumper.
He got the total package. He reminds me a lot of the Dream, man. It's like he's not too much that he can't do out there. And the fact that he can step out and hit the three, that helps. That bodes well for him, too.
In Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Him and Jabari Parker are going to be nice together like that.
Yeah, I agree. And they got my guy Markkanen down there, too.
Hell yeah. Ooh, so Zach LaVine. Ooh,
yeah, they're going to be all right.
Yeah, they're going to be all right.
Yeah, I agree. But now let's jump into our weekly locks. Now, I don't remember what your picks were last week, so I'm sure you do. But before we get on to this week's locks, what were your results from last week?
Man, I went 3-2, man. I would have been 4-1, but that snow held my Rams back a little bit.
Yeah, who you telling? Because Cooper Kupp got hurt and then came back in the game and ain't do nothing for me in fantasy. Yeah,
the snow held us back a little bit. My Rams covered. And then the other team that didn't cover was the one that you were correct on your sleeper pick of the week with Pittsburgh.
I knew it.
Yeah, they that Notre Dame game didn't cover. But everybody else, it was good.
I'm telling you, that Pittsburgh team, it doesn't matter what type of season they have, they're always going to be that team in a conference that you got to look out for. And with Notre Dame, obviously they're not in a conference, but they play that conference schedule. So they get the same smoke that the rest of the guys get.
Yeah.
That's a fact. But on to this week's locks. Who you got for your locks this week?
I got 4 games for y'all. I got Oklahoma -8 at TCU. I think they're ready to
flex their muscle again.
Yeah, they're ready to avenge last week. I think they come out swinging hard. The defense plays better. Then I got NC State +17 at Clemson.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they're. I just can't see Clemson beating them by +17.
I agree.
Then I got Oregon +3 at Washington.
Okay.
And then the Broncos -1 at the Cardinals on Thursday night in the NFL.
Okay. Ain't too mad at them picks.
Then my 4 locks for this week. The NFL is some tricky games this week. I don't know.
Yeah. So basically, if anybody's out there betting, you advise that they stay away from the NFL. If they do take anything, take that Broncos Cardinals.
I mean, it's some games I might take. They just not locks.
Okay.
Like these games, I feel like these are
certified money makers.
Yeah, I feel like these are easy picks.
Okay.
The one for sure lock, I feel like is NC State. I feel like there's no lose by 17.
That's a definite. I agree with that. I'm not a betting man, but that's definitely, yeah, if I were to go bet, I would definitely bet on that one. That's a fact. But as for NC State, let's jump into our pick'ems this week. Weekly pick'ems. Number 16, NC State at Clemson. Who you got?
I'm going with the upset. I'm going with the upset. I got NC State.
Me too. I got NC State in the upset.
They've been on the fringe of they have supposed to been good for like the past 2 or 3 years, and they haven't quite lived up. I think this year is going to be the year they finally get that big win.
Yeah, I agree. I got NC State over Clemson as well. Number 6, Michigan at Michigan State. Who you got? I know you got Michigan because that's who you got in for.
They getting in.
Man, I don't like that team up north, but I'm going with Michigan too. I feel like Michigan State, they had their big upset last week. I can't see them pulling off 2 big upsets. I do think it'll be close, but I'm taking Michigan. Michigan in a close one. Next one, number 22, Mississippi State at number 5, LSU. Who you got?
I got LSU.
I got Mississippi State for the only reason being is because I do have LSU knocking off Bama, as I've been saying since the beginning of the year. Mississippi State still got Bama too, don't they?
I believe so, yeah.
That puts a damper in it, though. I think Bama got to go to LSU this year, though. So if that's the case, I'm taking Mississippi State in this one, and I'm taking LSU to knock Bama off. if LSU does win this game, I'm taking Mississippi State to knock Bama off. Loser of this game, to me, certified Bama beater. That's the route I'm going. But I am going to take Mississippi State in this one. Next one, number 12, Oregon at number 25, Washington State.
I'm taking Oregon, but Washington State does play pretty good at home. But...
They do.
Huh?
I said they do.
Yeah, so yeah. But I'm taking Oregon. Oregon's good again.
Yeah.
I'm not the same type of Oregon team either.
Different Oregon team, definitely. I agree. Different Oregon team. But I'm taking Washington State. I think Oregon's going to be riding high off of last week. They'll get knocked off their horse a little bit. Washington State will win. NFL only got two games for the pick'ems this weekend. NFL, New England at Chicago. Who you got?
I got New England. I think they're about ready to run off a few in a row.
I got New England too. Cincinnati at Kansas City. Who you got?
Kansas City.
I got Kansas City as well. It's not really much more there. I just feel like they've shown us enough. They showed us that they're. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But, yeah, man, that pretty much does it for the episode. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we got out of here?
Nah, just tune into that ring ceremony, guys. Did I miss it?
It's on right now.
Oh, yeah. I got to get on that.
Yeah, I'm tuned in. But, yeah, man, like I said, best time of the year. We got NBA, we got NFL, we got college football. Here shortly we'll have college basketball as well. But, signing out, it's your boy Ish.
It's your boy Sam, man. We appreciate y'all for listening.
We out.